They would practice at night to drums, so if their masters came down from the big house to look for a woman, they could pretend to be dancing. Thanks to, what is the word in English, miscegenation, such skills ultimately were not needed. There was a loud thwack, and Tito began to fall sideways. He had taken a hard blow to the head from the instep of Orlando's foot. The blow could have been much, much harder. Tito did not fall completely. "I told you to wake up," Orlando said, regretfully. Recovering, Tito charged Orlando like a bull, right into his midriff. Orlando fell backward, Tito on top of him. Laughing, sweating, panting, they wrestled on the grass. At one point, their bodies, their arms and legs were in such a tight ball, perhaps even they could not tell which was whose. Ava, moving like time, went down to them. Finally, Orlando was sitting on Tito and giving him pink belly, pounding Tito's belly hard repeatedly with his fists. Tito was laughing so hard his stomach muscles were fully flexed and no harm was being done. Standing over them, behind Orlando, Ava laced her fingers across Orlando's forehead and pulled him backward and down. Kneeling over Tito as he was, sitting on him, bent backward now so that his own back was on the ground or on Tito's legs, Orlando looked up Ava's thighs. He rolled his eyes. He jumped up and grabbed Ava by the hand. Together, Orlando and Ava ran down the grassy slope from the swimming pool and disappeared. "You see?" Tonino said. "Uncomplicated." After resting a moment on the ground, breathing hard, Tito rolled over and over and on into the pool of water. "You're Moby Dick," Tonino said abruptly. "By Herman Melville?" Fletch looked at Tonino, wondering what new surprise was coming. "Yes," Fletch said. "I read it while waiting for a bus." "Call me Ishmael," Tonino quoted. "Not a bad beginning," Fletch said. "Simple." "Is it?" Tonino finished his cachaça. At the long side of the pool, Norival was finishing his fourth. "Is that Ishmael meant to be some spirit of the United States? Some guardian?" "Almost anything can be said," Fletch said, "and has been." "In a way, Ishmael is the guiding spirit of Brazil." Fletch said nothing. Necrophilia, slant six car engines, the nature of Arigó, robotics, capoeira, now a discussion regarding American literature. "I'm quite certain Melville stopped in Brazil on his voyages. Have you ever thought of that interpretation of Moby Dick?" "Melville meant Brazil as the guiding spirit of the United States?" "Maybe of the hemisphere." "Tonino!" Tito's forearms were flat on the edge of the swimming pool, holding his head up. Water streamed down his face from his hair. His right ear was red from Orlando's kick. "I think we should do Norival a favor." Tonino looked over at Norival, stretched out in the sunlight. Norival bubble belched. "Yes." Tonino stood up. Together, Tonino and Tito tipped the slow-reacting Norival out of the long chair. Fletch went to watch what new trick they would play. Each taking an arm, they dragged Norival, belly down, to the bushes. The towel dragged off him in the dirt. Then, methodically, standing behind him, Tonino and Tito each picked up one of Norival's feet. They raised him so that his shins were on their shoulders. Not all that gently, somewhat from the sides, they kicked Norival's soft, upside-down belly with the insteps of their feet, once, twice, some more. "Arigó," Tonino said, kicking Norival's upside-down stomach. "Empty out the sack," Tito said. "Very practical." It didn't take too many kicks for Norival to begin vomiting his four cachaças, his numerous chopinos, whatever was still in him from the night before. Once he began vomiting, they dropped his legs on the ground. Tito grinned at Fletch. "Very efficient, yes?" "It seems to be working." The other side of the swimming pool, Orlando and Ava were climbing back up the slope. "Ah," Tonino said, watching them. "5 minutes is a long time in the life of such a mulatta." Norival now was on his hands and knees, emptying himself into the bushes. Bleary, drooling vomit, he looked up at them. "Obrigado." In Portuguese, he said to them, "Thanks, guys." Chapter 13. After lunch, it rained. The five young men sat in their muddy towels at a round table on the back porch of the old plantation house playing poker. The humidity was complete, and even in the rain, Fletch and Orlando and Tito had been in and out of the pool between hands. They would either be wet with sweat or wet with water, and the rainwater, the pool water, seemed cooler. The only reason they sat under the roof to play was to keep the cards reasonably dry. Near them, their shorts were still piled on a small table, but the pile was messed up, as Norival had gone to his shorts and swallowed two pills from its pockets. They drank beer. There were many crushed cans near Norival's feet. From under the porch roof as he played, Fletch watched the rain fall on the pool and make mud puddles in the dead garden. He watched the flower-kissing birds sustain themselves with wings which beat so fast they were almost invisible, like auras on either side of their bodies, as they sucked sugar water from small vessels in the rafters. Kick-dancing and flower-kissing birds. After 2 or 3 hours of poker playing, it was clear who the winner was. Norival was careless, concerned more with his next chope than the cards. He seemed keyed up anyway, for someone who had had so much to drink, even though properly evacuated before lunch. Fletch yawned. Tito, Orlando, and Tonino played cards in a way odd to Fletch. They did not seem to see the cards as they were, but as something else, something more. Always they believed in the next card too much. They believed in what the cards might be instead of what they were. Fletch was collecting all the chips. At one point, Tonino said, "Of course you cannot understand Brazil, Fletch. Three of us, all but Norival, have been to school in the United States. We cannot say we understand the United States either. Everyone there is so anxious." "Very nervous," Orlando said. "Worried," Tito said. "Do I drink too much, smoke too much, make love too much, too little? Is my hair all right? Might someone see that my ankles are fat?" "Does everyone like me?" Orlando guffawed. "I'm so pretty," Tonino said in falsetto. "Don't touch me." Fletch strummed the table with his fingers. Bum, bum, paticum, bum, prugerundum. The noise of the rain pounding on the tin roof increased. Ava came through the back door and stood, watching them. She stood behind Norival and watched his last chips disappear in careless play. She took his feverish head in her hands and turned it sideways and leaned his cheek against her bare stomach. "Ah, Norival," she said in Portuguese, "you are getting drunk again." "Arigo," Tonino said, clearly hoping for a picture card and playing as if he had one. Ava rotated Norival's head so that he was slipping off the chair. The front of his face was against her stomach. He breathed deeply a few times through his nose. In a moment, Ava led Norival indoors. Tito, Orlando, Fletch, and Tonino played silently. Occasionally, concentrating, Tonino's lips would move as if he were talking, but no sound came out. When Orlando won anything, no matter how much he had lost, his face would break into a marvelous grin. He would be ready to lose more. At one point, when Fletch was raking in chips again, Tito murmured, "Your very spirit is with you." "Is he telling you what cards we have?" Tonino asked. "Doesn't need to," Fletch said. "I play with what I see I have against what I see you have." From inside, there was a short scream. Tonino chuckled. "I guess Norival has a few surprises in him yet." "We know he cannot hurt Ava," Tito said. "He is only a stick in her fire." Then there was another horrible, long, drawn-out scream. It pierced the sound of the rain. "They are playing," Orlando said. "Norival," Tonino called in Portuguese, "mind your manners." Naked, Ava fell through the back door.
"Norival!"
Her hair was messed up. Her eyes were wild. She sucked in breath and spoke in a rush. Tonino said,
"She says Norival has stopped moving, that he has stopped breathing."
Ava was shouting Portuguese over the sound of the rain.
"He has passed out," Tito said.
"No."
Alarmed, Tonino stood up.
"She says he has stopped breathing."
They all rushed inside. More slowly, Fletch went with them, suspecting some new trick. In the little room on the first floor, Norival lay on the rumpled, dirty sheets of an extra-long bed. He was partly on his side, as if rolled into that position. He was naked, and his stomach was slack. There was still a streak of mud on his leg. Norival was grinning. There was a happy, wicked gleam in his eye. From the door, Fletch watched Norival's grin remain idiotic. Norival's eyes did not blink. Fletch joined the tap dancers at the side of the bed. With his fingertips, he felt for a pulse in Norival's neck. There was none. Norival's pleased eyes did not blink. As Fletch watched, slowly the grin disappeared from Norival's face. The lips became straight. The happy gleam remained in his eyes. A few inches in front of Norival's penis, the bedsheet was wet and stained. "He is dead," Orlando said in Portuguese. Under his breath, Tito whistled. Standing, his back straight, Tonino said, "Norival, you died, Arrigo."
"What do we do?" Orlando asked. "Norival is dead."
"How did he die?" Tito asked. "Surely he has done this before. It hasn't been fatal."
Orlando said, "He can't be dead. Wake up, Norival. You'll miss carnival."
"He is dead," Tonino said. "Norival is dead." Ava filled the door of the small, dark room. Talking rapidly but more quietly now, she kept gasping, imitating a belch, grabbing her huge left breast with both hands.
"Died of a heart attack while copulating, I guess," Fletch said.
Orlando said, "Way to go, Norival."
"No wonder he was smiling," Tito said.
"You saw him smiling?" Tonino asked.
"Definitely he was smiling," Tito said.
Orlando nodded.
"When we came into the room, he was smiling."
"He is not smiling now," Tito said.
"But look at his eyes," Tonino said.
"His eyes are still happy," Tito said.
"And why not?" Orlando asked.
"Why not happy?"
At the door, Ava was beginning to look pleased with herself.
"But he's dead," Tito said.
"But how he died," Orlando said. He looked ready to shake Norival's hand. "Well done, Norival."
"A death in 10 million, Tonino said. "Arrigo."
Chapter 14. The tall, slim, naked young man stood in the dead garden, the rain pouring down his body, his feet wide apart in the mud, his face up to the rain, his arms held high as if to catch the sky. From the back porch, Fletch heard what Tonino said to the sky.
"With God he lays down, with God he rises, with the grace of God and the Holy Spirit. May thine eyes watch over him as he sleeps. Dead, will you light his way into the mansions of eternity with the tapers of thy Trinity?"
Fletch went down to Tonino in the garden.
"A prayer."
Tonino's face and arms lowered. His shoulders sagged. Then Tonino looked over the hedges, out into mountain space in the rain.
"Not a worry."
Fletch could not make sure if there were tears mixed in with the rain on Tonino's cheeks.
"When you die copulating, you are certain to come back to life soon."
Chapter 15.
"Tonino, what do we do?"
Tito asked in a hushed voice. Tonino shook his head as if to clear it.
"Still, Norival is dead," he muttered thickly.
While Fletch and the tap dancers were out of the room, Donna Jurema, the young teenaged girl, and one other woman from the house had washed Norival, put a fresher sheet under him, and laid him out straight. Now, in the small dark room, Norival lay on his back, clean, naked. His eyes were closed. In his hands folded over his stomach were a few flowers which had seen better hours. A candle flickered at the head of the bed, another candle at the foot of the bed. Leaving a full bottle of whiskey in the room, Donna Jurema left the young men sitting around the bed in straight wooden chairs. So they had sat for 2 or 3 hours, The thick candles had burned down only a few centimeters. There was no measuring tape on that whiskey bottle. Their next drink from it would probably be their last. Fletcher had 3 or 4 good swallows from the bottle. Even on the straight wooden chair across the bed, Orlando sat with his legs straight out before him, his chin on his chest, his thumbs hitched into the tops of his shorts.
"We must do something," Tito said.
Tonino blinked.
"We cannot leave Norival here," Tito said.
To Fletch, Tonino said, "Norival comes from a rich, important family. His uncle is an admiral."
"To die in a whorehouse," Tito said, "full of booze."
"And pills, I think," Fletch said.
"His mother would be disappointed," Tito concluded.
"But what a way to go," Orlando muttered without opening his eyes or raising his chin from his chest.
"We must do something," Tito said.
"We must move him." Tonino drank from the bottle, saw that it was nearly the last of the whiskey, and handed the bottle to Tito.
"We must arrange some other death for Norival," Tito said.
"Burn the record," Fletch agreed. "I see the point."
"For the sake of his mother," Tito said.
"He must not have died here," Tonino said carefully. "Not in the arms of Eva."
"No," said Tito. "It would make her too famous."
"Still," Tonino winked, "people will know."
"Yes,"
Tito said. He passed the bottle over Norival to Fletch.
"People will know how Norival died."
"What a way to go," Orlando muttered.
"But not his mother," said Tonino.
"Not his mother," agreed Tito.
"Not his sisters."
For a moment, while Fletch held the bottle, they were silent. The candles flickered, and Norival did not breathe. Through the open window came the sound of the rain on the tin roof.
"We must do something," Tito said.
"The important thing is," Tonino said, trying very hard to keep his tongue straight and to see things clearly,
"is to prevent an autopsy."
"Yes," Tito said forcefully at this great wisdom.
"Because Norival was full of booze and pills."
"Despite our having emptied him out once," Tito put in.
"And that would disappoint his mother," said Tonino,
losing his tongue in his mouth.
"Worth it," Orlando muttered from his chest. "A death in 10 million. Good old Norival."
"Wake up, Orlando," Tito said. "We must think."
"No."
Tonino kicked Orlando's legs, and Orlando nearly fell off his chair. Blinking, he looked at Norival laid out on the bed, holding the wilted flowers. It was not yet dark, but the rain made the candles bright in the small room.
"Orlando, we must think of something."
"Guima de Arquivo," Fletch said. "I am learning Portuguese."
"Truly," Orlando said, "we must do something. We must move him."
"His boat," Tonino said.
"Yes," Orlando shook his head solemnly. "His boat. Who now will want his boat?"
"Exactly," Tonino said.
"Exactly what?" Tito asked.
Fletch took his drink from the bottle and handed it back across Norival to Orlando.
"Clearly," Tonino spoke slowly, carefully, "Norival died on his boat."
"Clearly." Tito looked at Norival as if for agreement.
"Norival would have liked that."
Orlando said, "I think Norival was satisfied enough with the way he died."
"But we can say he died on his boat, Orlando," Tito said.
"Off his boat," Tonino corrected him.
"He died off his boat. He drowned. That should prevent an autopsy."
"Yes," Tito said.
"Poor Norival drowned. That should make his mother happy."
"You're all crazy," Fletch said.
"But Tonino," Tito asked, "how do we get Norival to his boat? It is way down in the harbor. There is a gate to the docks, guards. There are always guards at the gate."
Again there was silence as they considered the gate and guards leading to the dock where Norival's boat was. Tonino took the bottle of whiskey from Orlando and finished it.
"We walk him."
He placed the empty whiskey bottle on the bed within Norival's reach. Tito said something in Portuguese.
"We walk him right by the guards."
Orlando said,
This is a night the dead walk. Broomsticks.
Tonino's eyes were now fully open. He was speaking perfectly clearly.
Jurema must have brooms.
Tito looked at the floor.
I sincerely doubt that, Tonino.
Everyone has brooms. Tito, you get rope and rig a harness around Norival's chest, under his arms. Orlando, you get brooms from Dona Jurema and saw them down to size. You know, so they will fit from the harness under his arms to his waist, so we can hold him up. We need some thick thread for his legs.
Orlando and Tito were studying Tonino carefully with their eyes, putting all this together. Tonino jumped up.
There is a book of tide tables in the glove compartment of the car. I shall figure out exactly where Norival must drown to come ashore and be found in the morning.
His wallet is in the car too, Tonino, Tito said, in the glove compartment. Norival must wear his wallet when he drowns, so when they find him in the morning, they will know who he is.
Otherwise, they will not report the body, Orlando said.
They will report the body fast enough if it's a Passerino, Tito said.
Norival Passerino.
You help too, Fletch. You get Norival's clothes, including his shirt.
You're all crazy, Fletch said. What if we get caught with a corpse?
Standing over Norival, Tito rubbed his own hands together.
Not a worry, Norival, he said. We'll see that you die decently.
Chapter 16.
Drive carefully, Tonino, Tito said. We don't want an accident.
Although he was not going fast, Tonino was not being all that successful at keeping the black four-door Galaxy to the right. They were swerving down the wet, twisting mountainside road. It was now fully dark. A Volkswagen, climbing the road, had just blared its horn at them.
We don't want to be stopped by the police, Orlando said.
Drive as if you are driving a hearse, Tito advised.
I am driving a hearse, Tonino said, swinging the wheel too much.
At Dona Jurema's, Orlando had sawed two broomsticks down to size. Tito bound Norival's chest with a rope harness. Tonino studied the tide tables and decided exactly where Norival was to drown in the South Atlantic Ocean. Together they fit the broomsticks into the harness and then dressed Norival. While watching them carry Norival out of the old plantation house, Dona Jurema said to Fletch,
Come Tuesday, I'll have a corpse for you.
Cancel the order, Fletch said. We have a corpse.
Tonino sniffed.
Norival is not that sort of corpse.
As they swerved down the mountainside, Norival sat propped up in the back seat between Tito and Orlando. The broomsticks were not visible beneath his shirt. When they came to the first flat, wide road on the outskirts of Rio de Janeiro, Tito reminded Tonino again to drive slowly, to stay to the right. Tonino drove very slowly. Even two children on roller skates passed them. Tonino looked through the rearview mirror.
Norival never looked better. He holds his head up nicely.
The car swerved a little.
Careful, Tonino, Tito clucked.
The way he died, he should, Orlando said. Not everybody.
From behind them came the sound of a police siren.
Uh-oh,
Tonino said.
Go fast, Tonino, Tito said. We have a corpse in the car.
No, Orlando said. Stop.
The result of following these conflicting orders was that the car shot forward a few meters and then bucked to a stop. On the back seat, Norival rolled forward. His head struck against the back of the front seat.
Oh, Norival, Tito said in exasperation.
It's all right, Orlando said, pulling Norival back into a sitting position. He won't bleed.
Quick, Tonino said. Open his eyes. He looks more real that way.
Orlando reached over with his fingers and opened Norival's eyes. The police car drew alongside. Apparently staring straight ahead through the windshield, Norival's eyes gleamed with a wicked joy.
What did I do wrong? Tonino asked. These people have no respect for the dead.
The conversation with the policeman, of course, was in Portuguese. While it was going on, Fletch sat perfectly still in the front seat, trying not to look interested or concerned. After they drove away from the policeman, Tonino, Orlando, and Tito, choking with laughter, repeated the conversation in English for Fletch.
Policeman. Why are you driving so slowly?
Tonino.
It's carnival, sir. I don't want to hit any revelers.
Policeman.
No one else is driving so slowly.
Tonino.
Perhaps no one else is as good a citizen as I, sir.
Policeman. Back there you swerved. You almost hit a parked car. Tonino.
I sneezed.
Policeman. God bless you, my son.
Tonino. Thank you, sir.
Policeman, shining his flashlight around the inside of the car, finally leaving it for a moment on Norival's joyfully beaming, unblinking face.
Why does that guy look so happy?
Tonino.
He always looks that way during carnival, sir.
Policeman. Is he stoned?
Tonino, whispering. He's not all there, sir.
Policeman.
Oh, well, drive faster.
Tonino.
Yes, sir.
Tito, you stay with the car. Drive to where I showed you on the map, the beach. We'll be there in a few hours.
Correct. They had driven by the gates to the dock where Norival's boat was. The gates were closed and locked. Not one, but three guards stood at the gate chatting, two outside and one inside. They drove up the street and parked the car against the curb. It had stopped raining. The moon was threatening to come out. They lifted Norival out of the back seat and stood him in the road between Tonino and Orlando.
Here, Fletch.
Tonino handed Fletch a ball of heavy thread he had taken from Dona Jurema.
Tie Norival's left ankle to Orlando's right, his right ankle to my left. See, it will work out. That way Norival will appear to walk.
Fletch tied Norival's left ankle to Orlando's right. They lifted Norival a little off the ground on his broomsticks, and Orlando walked in a circle around Tonino. Norival's movement was too slow.
No, Fletch, Tonino said. The line must be tighter. Norival must appear to be taking the same size steps as Orlando.
Kneeling on the wet road, Fletch retied the thread tighter and then tied Norival's right ankle to Tonino's left. Somewhere in the harbor, a ship's whistle blew. Tonino and Orlando walked Norival up the road a little way.
How do we look, Tito?
Lift your side higher, Tonino,
Tito said.
His foot is dragging a little your side.
Tonino hitched Norival higher.
That better?
Perfect, Tito said. You'd never know he's dead.
Fine. Then we should go. See you at the beach in a few hours, Tito.
Here, Fletch, you walk a little in front of us in case things do not look exactly right.
Slowly, in bare feet, Fletch walked down the rain-slicked road and up onto the sidewalk toward the gate to the boat dock. Each pocket of his shorts was bulging with a wad of cruceros he had won at poker. He could not help looking around. Eyes beaming in complete joy, arms stiff at his sides, although his shoulders propped up by broomsticks did look a little high, Norival walked almost in step between Tonino and Orlando. Three close friends going down the street together. The harness kept Norival's head high. Norival did trip going up the curb. Down the road, Tito was driving the car away. The three guards watched the four young men approach.
Buonanotte, Fletch said to them.
Buonanotte, they answered lowly, suspiciously. Fletch stood aside.
Ah, Dr. Passarino.
One guard threw away his cigarette. Again, the conversation was in Portuguese. Fletch kept looking up at the heavy scudding clouds, hoping the moon would not take that moment to appear. Guard.
You are not going out on your boat tonight, are you?
Tonino answered in his normal voice, not even trying to conceal the movement of his lips.
Yes, Rio is so crowded, from carnival. I need some peace and quiet.
Orlando took a few steps in his circle so that the faces of Norival and Tonino were turned a bit away from the guards.
Guard. But there's been a heavy rain. It might rain again.